everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with Taylor Kilgore. How are you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing wonderful.
Great. I love hearing that. So how's life been going since, like, everything's been kind of a little crazy right now? Like, how's your acting been going, all that stuff? I kind of like to ask a lot of people that now, since it's pretty, you know, it's a lot of shit's happening.
It's been going pretty good. I stopped for a bit because everyone was a little unsure during the pandemic how to film and stuff like that, and with all the regulations. But I actually just wrapped a horror anthology last week, and that took about, you know, a week to film, and that was a lot of fun. And then I worked on a few indie projects in between as well, and I've had a premiere, so it's staying, like, you know, consistently busy.
Well, that's good. I love it. I love hearing that, because I mean, you've been, like, how long have you been acting?
If we go way back, I started when I was in middle school. I started with theater, and then I just picked up film once I moved out, once I graduated. And so I decided, you know, I liked film a lot better.
Mm-hmm. So you started doing that. Was there a big jump from theater to film for you?
Not really. One of the theater teachers I had in high school had done some film work with us, and that's where I really decided I liked that a little bit better, because we could focus on and see those little aspects that like I wasn't able to see live from theater performances. So I just kind of fell in love with it during that process.
It's definitely, to me, it's definitely a lot easier than, like, having everything memorized and all the stuff planned out. And, you know, like, you know, nobody really does, like, everything in one long take, you know, generally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there are certain aspects that are easier. You know, it's harder in some ways. Like, you have to battle the climate. A lot of times you're super uncomfortable, you know, just like clothing wise, like, it, you know, movie clothing is just usually over the top. You know, you're wearing a corset doing a fight scene, or long sleeves, and it's summer. So I find you do that a lot. And then it focuses on those really micro expressions. So I've, you know, that's a little bit harder, but I know theater has its challenges as well. So
what's been, like, kind of the worst that you've had to deal with as far as, like, dealing with something like, you know, clothes being, you know, too hot or whatever? Like, what's kind of the worst situation you kind of been in?
Well, I'll definitely say, as I brought it up earlier, was fighting in the corset. That was really hard because, you know, it's not made for a lot of movement, and it was freezing cold. It was just one of those shoots. I mean, I had a blast and I looked really cool, but we had, you know, some jumping and some kicking that we had to take out just because I physically couldn't do it with the corset. And we were at Mount Charleston, so it was pretty cold. It was, I think, in January or December, so it was, like, in the 30s, but, you know, even colder up there because of the altitude. So, yeah, that one, I really struggled.
Was that for Mortal Wars?
It was. Okay. Oh, and I was wearing platform combat boots, so that also, doing that on a hill, you know, was pretty rough.
I remember that scene because I think it was supposed to be cold, right? Like, that area, that specific place, right?
Like, yeah.
So it was like, it was meant like, I guess you were, you guys were fighting, but it was like, it's almost like a video game, because it was like a different location in each specific thing or whatever. Each fight scene was supposed to take place in a different location, and yours was like a cold area or whatever. And that's interesting to know that it was really, because sometimes it's really hot and you have to pretend like it's cold as an actor.
Yeah, or
the vice versa, it's really cold but you got to pretend like it's hot, you know. Do you deal with a lot of that?
Usually I don't have to, like, fake being cold a lot. Usually I typically tend to film when it's colder. I don't know why. That's just how it goes. But I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
You have to pretend like it's cold. I'm sure you can handle it. I mean, all you got to think about is all the sets you were on with that were cold.
Right. No, it's like dealing with the cold. I'm much better at dealing with the heat than the cold. So I prefer it as long as I'm not, you know, wearing long sleeves in the like hot weather. But yeah, there's been sets when we did Rust. It was really hot. And we were in the haunt trailers and there was no AC or anything. I mean, thankfully I was in a crop top, but everybody else was like, you know, full like wigs and they had, you know, like a long sleeves or they had like pants on. I got lucky. I was just, you know, had little on.
That's good. So I'm guessing you love filming with Joe because you worked with Joe so much. How did you end up meeting him? Did you audition for him?
Yeah, I've known him for a really long time. We both came out here, I think, the same year and got connected. I don't remember exactly how we got connected on a project, but we ended up working on Chambers. That was the first project I had with him because he's a huge, huge Resident Evil fan. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we first started working together. And then from there, it was just, you know, feature or project, short feature, mostly features, I think, at this point. But we worked for a lot of years together.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time where you had to turn him down for a project because you were like busy or doing something else?
I don't remember specifically having to turn him down. There were a few times I didn't get to audition his last project, My Little Nightmare. I didn't get to audition for it because I've been a little bit busy. I took a break off during the pandemic because I ended up purchasing a home. And so that took a lot of time. And then
congratulations.
Thank you. I was really happy about it. That took a lot of time. And then I got a full-time job in between. So I haven't found I didn't want to audition because I didn't have the time yet in between the full-time job. That was basically it. I wanted to audition. I just didn't have the time.
Right. So, okay. So he actually has you audition for everything, even though he's seen you work like a bunch of times?
No, not always. It really just depends. Like if it's a different character that I haven't played before, then yeah, I think for that specifically, they were asking for auditions because there was, how do I say it? There was other people involved. So they wanted everyone to have like a fair shot type of thing. But most of the time he just says, you know, oh, I could see you for this role. Do you want to do it? And then that's basically it.
Yeah, I get that. Like just basically writing for you, you know, like, or whatever. He's like already got you in mind probably when he's writing it.
Yeah. And if there's already a role he can see me in, like, because he has a lot of versatile roles or like he has a lot of victim roles and I tend to kind of fall in that category. So, you know, it's easy for him. Like he knows I'll show up because, you know, it's a huge, huge problem out here in Vegas with people not showing up and people, you know, getting that prima donna attitude and then just asking for a bunch of stuff that's like unreasonable at the level and not having the experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I want to go back to what you just said. You said that you always kind of get the victim roles. Like that seems to be why is that a typecasting for you?
I assume it's just a look thing. And then, you know, kind of when you have a project come out and people see you as that, they're like, oh, you know, I enjoyed your performance as that. So I just have typically had to like, you know, scream and have blood thrown on me.
Oh, okay.
So they've seen it a few times. They're like, oh yeah, she can scream and have blood thrown on her and act like she's scared. So and I think that's a big thing too. You know, I can look scared a lot. So I'm pretty familiar with doing that already. So they're like, oh yeah, we'll have you try this. And so I mean, it's fun. I love whenever they kill me on set. It's definitely different every time.
Have you ever been like the final girl?
I believe so. Now I'm trying to think back. I've worked on quite a few projects now at this point. I want to say yes. I'm pretty sure and a few of Joe's, maybe Rust.
Maybe rust. Were you? I mean, did you live rust? Through it?
Yeah. Yes. Or so far, I'm like, I'm thinking it's been a minute since we filmed Rust. So I'm pretty sure that I survived Rust for the moment. No spoiler alerts there. I'm not sure if we're continuing the series. So there may be a possibility that we are. So just throwing that out there. That's why I didn't want to be too specific.
you don't want to spoil it too much, I guess, you know, but
yeah,
I'm always wondering because there are some people that, like you, you said you play the victim a lot, and usually the victim dies, unfortunately, you know. So it's always interesting to hear if the sometimes the victims ever get to play the final girl, because some people don't. Some people always play the victim in movies and whatnot, and they might like that. So I don't know. No judging, you know.
No. It's nice to switch it up to get that variety sometimes, because I like when I get to step out of the box and play something a little bit different, or, you know, just a step in different roles that I'm not usually cast in. But I feel like I've gotten a decent amount of range where I'm not always the same thing, but I'm similar in most of them.
So is there like a role that you haven't gotten to play? Like, do you ever play the villain, or... Or have you, is there something that you've been dying to play?
I have gotten to play somewhat of a villain. I don't want to say what project it is, because okay. It's kind of a, you know, a shocker. So I've gotten to do that. And I really, really enjoyed that. So I would love to do it again and get maybe a longer time doing it, if that makes sense. It was a short period of time that I did it for. So yeah, definitely. I want to break that, break into that a little bit more and try that out for myself.
Definitely. But is there a role that you've wanted to play other than that? Like, is there something that you've been kind of dying to play that you just haven't gotten a chance yet?
I'm trying to think. I would just, you know, go back to I would love to play like an evil character, someone super, super evil, like the main villain, someone that's the main antagonist in the story, as opposed, because I'm always on the good side. Like, I'm typically always on that side, just based off of like how I dress. So I would really, really love to play the main villain.
That would be fun. I could see you as that, you know.
I don't know if I should be offended.
Well, no, I mean, <Just kidding. laughs> but I'm just saying, because like as an actress, you know, you've done a ton of different roles and everything. And yeah, you usually kind of play like in Immortal Wars, you played like this badass character that, you know, fought and didn't. Yeah, it was a lot of fun for you, I'm sure. So I'm sure if you got to play like the super villain character that, you know, more along the lines of like, you know, what the other side of Immortal Wars, you know, and everything. I think you would have probably had fun, you know, you'd have fun doing that, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I just I've been doing a little bit more research and just watching, there's a lot of videos. There's I wish I remember the guy's name. He was giving advice on Instagram to other actors, and he was rating their performances and talking about that. He's, you know, some acting coach probably in LA, but it really stuck with me what he said about each of these. So I'm learning a little bit about like more of that process and just, you know, diving into the evil character is a lot of fun, because, you know, if you get really behind it, everything they think they're doing, you know, is right in their mind. So you're not trying to be evil. You're trying to validate everything that they're going through, and doing that research and that background to really like push that character's personality through.
Yeah. I'm always wondering about people who like, you know, who really like dive and do research into like serial killers, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because like, I mean, once you kind of go down that rabbit hole, you know, I'm afraid of like, you know, because you have to pretend to be that way or whatever, but you're also kind of, you're learning things about, you know, about these people that probably shouldn't be be learned, you know, like about that.
Yeah, like the famous one, the Joker.
Right.
I know there's been a, who was it? Someone was advising them not to dive into that role because of how deep that rabbit hole goes. But I loved Joaquin Phoenix's performance. He did amazing.
He's probably one of my favorite Jokers, honestly. And I actually did not think, and this is, you know, this is going to might shock people, but I did not think I was going to like it. I just, the way I heard it, I was like, okay, this doesn't seem like the Joker. And it wasn't really, it was a different take on the Joker. And it was sort of, I mean, it had the aspects of like, you know, it showed like Wayne Manor and it showed, you know what I mean? Like it definitely had a little bit of, it had that thing in there, but it definitely wasn't the typical Joker. My least favorite Joker was Jared Leto, but to be fair, he was only in that movie for like 15 minutes. So, I mean,
yeah,
we didn't really give him much of a chance, but I didn't like all the tattoos and all the stuff. I felt like that was just a different, I just didn't like that take on him, but you know.
No, agreed. It wasn't my favorite. I heard it had something to do with the universe, and also he didn't have a lot of time, so it's just like it wasn't my favorite, but I wasn't even a huge, you know, I wasn't really super into the Joker until I watched the Joaquin Phoenix performance, and I was like, oh wow, you know, make you feel bad for him, they give, you know, all that backstory, like why he is the way he is, and so it was just like, okay, like I still don't like you, but I understand why you're like that. So yeah, he did so phenomenal. I want to do a cosplay now of that one. So I'm so excited. That's in my list of to-dos.
Wow. You're going to do like a Taylor Joker. That'll be fun.
Yes. Definitely. I have to get all the stuff together. So it's going to take me some time, but it's on the list.
Everybody's going to Harley Quinn these days though. So it's nice to see a woman doing Joker. I just think that's cool. You know, but yeah, I adore that. So are you really big into watching movies, or do you just pretty much just act in them?
No, I love watching movies. I was actually just talking about going to the movies recently because Don't Breathe 2 is coming out, and I really, really loved the first one. And then I mean, I watch stuff at home. I go to the theaters. There was something with Chris Pratt that came out on Amazon Prime that I just watched. It was really good.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I forgot the title.
Yeah. Tomorrow something. But yeah.
Are you talking about Tomorrow Wars?
Is it Tomorrow Wars? I forgot what it's called, but I enjoyed it. It had a good like balance of, like the CGI was amazing for the aliens. They were so creepy.
Yeah. You're talking about, you're talking about Tomorrow Wars, you know,
that's what it's okay. Yeah.
Tomorrow War. Chris Pratt was in that, and I haven't seen it yet actually, but I haven't, you're the first person I heard a good review from. So,
oh really? I thought it was really good. I mean, it's worth it.
I'll check it out at some point. I gotta watch these movies. It's just there's so much, so much content out there these days, you know, like everybody's got a movie out now, you know, like it's just, there's so much. And so now that I do, like, I do a lot of reviews and stuff too. So like, I have to watch those, you know, before I, you know, we just did a review recently of the Immortal Wars. So,
awesome.
Yeah, loved it. Obviously. So, but like, it's one of those things where we, you know, I'll watch it because I have to review it. Then I'll watch maybe something occasionally, maybe a TV show or movie, that's not on my list to watch, but it's really like, that's really random now because I just don't have time, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's so much content out there too, because I'm constantly getting recommendations, and sometimes like I won't watch it until like 2 months later. And I'm like, hey, I finally watched that movie. It was really good. They're like, oh, I forgot I told you about that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, because that means you're busy, you know, which is what you're supposed to be. If you're not filming, you're working. If you're not working, you might be watching a movie if you're lucky.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so you've been wanting to watch that Don't Breathe 2. There's a ton of good stuff coming out these days, and sadly, not a lot of movies are able, like, not a lot of people are going to the movie theaters, you know?
Yeah, I noticed, I know there's a lot of mixed, and like, people have a lot of mixed feelings about the pandemic. Otherwise, I think that, you know, there wouldn't be so much of an issue with it right now. I mean, I even just saw, I don't know if you like anime, but I watched the Demon Slayer movie.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a really good anime. And then they brought, that was the first time I believe that they brought an anime to theaters. Like not, can't like, yeah. I think that, I don't know if that's accurate, so don't quote me on that, but it was really good and it did really well. So, you know, it's really paving the way, hopefully, for other ones to come to the theaters over here. So
yeah, definitely. So what is, like, so you've got Immortal Wars 3 coming out soon, you know. It just had its premiere, so congratulations, that's awesome.
Yep.
must have been a fun night to watch it in theater with everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay, you did go. That's good. Okay, because some people might not have been able to make it. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, you know, you'll be there. So what are you like really excited about that's coming up? You know, is there anything that you can't wait to start filming?
So I'm supposed to start up Coven again. It's a vampire indie film series with Nick Grant, and I've got some pretty like emotional scenes in there, so we were adding more episodes, so we should start that up again, I think, once it gets a little colder, because he likes to film at night too, and then just schedule wise for everybody, I'm excited for that. I'm also excited, this last film that I The Macabre that we just wrapped up on last week, I'm excited for that to come out. He said he's thinking probably December, hopefully October, but you know, with there's a lot of special effects in that and FX work, so it might just take a little bit longer.
That's awesome. I've been hearing about that one, so I'm looking forward to it. It was a big Indiegogo one, I believe, too. Like it did really well on Indiegogo, so you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if I'm correct on that, I don't that's what I remember. But yeah, I'm looking at the cast right now and it looks amazing, so I can't wait to see it.
Yeah we had a lot of talented people, even some people that flew in from like LA, and then I think we had a couple come in from Oklahoma, so that was really cool just to have like just a bunch of just, you know, and everyone was super nice and the set was ran so well. I really enjoyed my time. We filmed at a mansion like right across the street from Zach Bagans' house, and his
nice
house was so that was just cool because I was like, wow, it's not every day you get to film in a mansion, so that was nice.
That must have been great. It's just what can you say anything about it or no? Like, or do you want to keep that?
I double checked with him before because I told him that I was gonna go on your show for a little bit, and he said I could mention it as long as I, you know, don't give away any big spoilers, but it's a horror anthology. It's got some really cool props, like really cool FX, talented cast. And like I said, the mansion location was really cool. So I definitely think that it was a fun story. And we got a lot of creative freedom to just play the characters how we wanted to. Like, you know, of course we had our baselines, but he really let us take control of the scene for each of our characters. So that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Anthologies are a lot of fun. I love working on them. Just because it's just a short. So you're only there for a couple days for each, you know, short, and you can have fun and hang out and then kind of move on and you're done, you know, then
yeah,
you wrap
exactly
up, you know? So you also mentioned that, is it a TV show, Coven?
I think he has them on YouTube. It's like a it's a series called Coven, and there's a bunch of different, like, it's all in the same timeline, but it's all going on at the same time type of thing. There's like different characters. So I play a vampire, spoiler alert. It's already been put out there. I play a vampire. I was a drug addict before. And then she turns into a vampire and she's trying to turn her life around.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. She does better as a vampire as opposed to being human.
That's okay. So me and some friends were actually talking about that once, that, you know, that basically there's a little bit of a similarity between a drug addict and a vampire, because a vampire does kind of become a junkie, you know, in a way, you know, because they're trying to basically get blood all the time. So, you know, they're trying to get their fix, you know? And so it's kind of interesting. I like that. I like that you got to play basically a drug addict that ends up becoming a vampire and I guess has to be a blood junkie, you know?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. She's very emotional. My character's kind of she's an ass. she's just very out for herself. She's very selfish. So that's been a lot of fun to like go through that like backstory and just like making her like all about herself. It's always like it's me. Everything bad happens to me. So she doesn't really take responsibility for her actions until it's too late. You know, she's one of those people. But it was cool because I got to work with Jackie. Jackie Gerhardy. She plays my best friend in the series.
Nice.
So, yeah. And actually, we had this funny thing on set. So 2 days in a row, we accidentally wore the exact same thing. So he's like, you know, wear whatever, right? It's not very, like, important to the scene. Or, you know, like, what your character would wear. So the first day I think I ended up wearing this top too. It's like a green tank top and like jean shorts. And then she shows up in a green tank top and gray shorts. So then the next day I'm like, I don't want to match her. So I wore all gray. Then she wore all gray. And I was like, oh my God, I've never had that happen ever. It was so funny. We were cracking up because we're like, what are the odds? She's like, there's no way Taylor's going to wear all gray. And I was just like, I've been doing this probably what, like 10 years or so now. So it's like, that's the first time this has happened. And this is why you probably set this up the day before. So next time we're going to coordinate.
Or that's why you generally, I mean, sometimes have a costume coordinator, costume, you know, designer or whatever, somebody who goes in there and tells you, okay, let's not let you guys wear the same outfit. Let's, you know, like, let's pick this stuff out. I remember I was working on a Lifetime movie or whatever, and they told us to bring what we wanted to wear. So I brought like a whole bunch of clothes, but the lady apparently did not like some of my clothes. And so she was like, what size are you? I'll go get some stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, that made me feel a little bad. Like, oh no, like I don't know how to dress myself properly or something, you know, for this.
No. I totally understand how you feel because every time I come to set, they never like what I bring. And I try to bring a variety too, right? To bring a variety, like, you know, no stripes, right? Of course, or no thin stripes and no like bright green in case it's, you know, green screen. But yeah, every time, even when I'm an extra, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like.
they don't like it.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh God, I don't know what you guys want from me. I pick something plain. There's no logos. Like, like they're not even gonna see me maybe in this scene.
It's funny because I'm definitely not I don't dress really well. Like I like freaking t-shirts and jeans and whatnot, and so I barely ever, well, I mean, I do have like different clothes, like I have different stuff, you know, but I'm always like, I'm not sure what they want necessarily. So I do bring a variety, and they did like a couple of my outfits, but then they're like, because we're supposed to do a couple, it was all in one day, but it was supposed to take place, you know, a couple days or whatever apart from each other. So I had to have different things. It was just, it's a pain in the butt. I mean, I love acting, but I don't love, you know, picking out my own clothes. You know, I'd rather have a costume designer come in and tell me what to wear, you know, like.
Yeah, same. Or if you're like, or something super simple, you're like, oh, I've got like 10 versions of that. Like they're like tank tops and shorts. I was like, all right, here's every different color of tank tops and shorts. That's super easy. I can do that. They're like, do you have a toga? And I'm like, no.
Toga?
I don't have a toga. Yeah, I've been asked that before. I mean, I have some Halloween costumes, which is nice because I dress up every year. So that always works out for me because anytime there's a Halloween scene, I'm like, all right, well, do you want this? I get to reuse my costume. So I'm like, I'm always stoked about that.
I want to know what shoe was it that you needed a toga for?
Oh, God. I can't remember. To be honest, I don't know the name of it. It was just someone was asking if I could stand in, and they asked if I had a toga. I mean, even a long time ago, I think we didn't have a toga for another Halloween scene. So they put a bed sheet on me and made that into a toga. I mean, that's
I think that works. Yeah, it's basically a white sheet, you know.
Yeah, so it's weird. I guess that's a really sought upon costume. So maybe one of these days I'll have to just get one since I've been asked it once.
You know, did you have to go toga, toga, toga?
I think I ended up being busy, so I was not able to do that day. So I was like, you know, I'll just put that in the back burners for later. I'll make sure that I have a
toga just in case somebody asks. Yeah. Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, like, you never know.
I've done a bunch of movies and I've never once had a toga on my sets yet, you know.
And that's what I love about set. Every experience is typically so different. Like your experiences from another actor's are so different. You're like, you did what? Or like you did some wire work, or you know, or what kind of costumes did you guys have?
Wow. Yeah. So you've done wire work, right?
I have not yet, but I would love to. I've seen Jackie since she does a lot of stunts. She's done some wire work, and every time she posts videos, I'm like, oh, that looks so fun to just get flown. Like that, that would be so cool. Like whether I'm being thrown or whether I'm coming at somebody, either way, I just want to try it because it looks like it's a lot of fun.
Like a Marvel movie or whatever, where you get like flown and then you land like a superhero pose, like right, Black Widow. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. See, and that would feel so badass. I would totally be down. I think at one point we had talked about for one of the Mortal Wars getting it. I might not have fit in the budget, but you know, if it ever does, I would be so excited.
Yeah, gotta talk to Joe about that. Be like, hey, you know, we can find some more investors and get one of those things so we can fly around, you know. Though I don't really Weirdly, I don't see that in the Immortal Wars. Like, I understand, like, the Immortal Wars is sort of similar in the vein of, like, Marvel in a way, or whatever, like, the MCU and everything. But it isn't, it's more grounded in, like, real violence, you know, or whatever. Not cartoonish, silly, like, people getting flown and whatever. It's more like Mortal Kombat style, where people are just fighting each other like hand to hand and whatnot, and it's sort of realist, you know. It's more real. Yeah. Than
it's got like a darker vibe, definitely very like Hunger Games, but the books, like if you read the books, which were phenomenal. I wish the movies had touched more on how dark that series was. The movies really like kind of didn't show as much of a struggle, you know, as it really was. So yeah, I definitely say Mortal Wars is kind of like a Hunger Games, like Mortal Kombat, darker, like more realistic, more gritty kind of feel to it.
Well, yeah, Mortal Wars is like rated R, and you know. Yeah, yeah. And what is it, the Hunger Games is more PG-13, so they couldn't really go as dark as they probably wanted to go because they need to be able to, you know, not alienate teenagers or, you know, anybody. Yeah, that, you know, might have read the book.
Yeah, I think I was a little upset with that. I had wished that they had, you know, it should have been rated R. But I know ticket sales wise, they were going for, well, if we sell it to the preteens and the teenagers, then we're going to get more out of it. But it was definitely like a young adult novel. Like it could have, I think it still would have done really well because, you know, I mean, you know, you got your parents that they've taken me to a few R-rated movies, like growing up, like I want to see the scary movie. So, you know, it would have been fine, but you know.
Right, exactly. Like, the parents would have taken him to see our Hunger Games, but
they would have snuck in. They would have found a way.
They would have found a well. Sneaking in doesn't buy them tickets. That's what they're thinking.
Sneaking in, you know, borrowing somebody's ID or having their fake ID, whatever that may be.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say because there are ways to freaking sneak into like movie theaters these days, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Movie hopping. I mean, I have to say, of course, as a teenager, I did it once or twice, and the last time I went to the movies. It's always hit or miss. Sometimes I see no one standing there and I'm like, you guys should probably put someone out here, but
That's on the staff right there, you know, because I used to work at a movie tavern, you know, it's a local a movie theater, and you know, they would have, you just don't have the budget or whatever. You don't have the crew to have somebody standing there watching, and nobody really, unless it's a packed crowd, you know, and then somebody snuck in and took somebody's seat or something. But nowadays all the seats are like specifically designed. So they know when when like a seat hasn't been taken, and they can be like, hey buddy, you're not, you know, not supposed to be here, you know?
Yeah.
So
it seems like a lot of work on their part, but yeah, I'm sure some slips through the cracks kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't do that anymore. I don't movie hop or anything, because I just don't have because I have a unlimited pass or whatever, you know, limited thing from Regal, so I could just go to whatever movie I want to whenever I feel like it. But weirdly enough, I just don't take advantage of it as much as I should, because I just don't really like going out of my house, you know, like, you know, and. Yeah. That's sort of the problem, I think. Right.
And I think, you know, the movie hopping is like more of a teenager thing. I haven't done that in years. I can't even, probably like a senior the last time I did it.
Like, what's the point of doing it now as an adult, you know?
Yeah,
like,
because I want to support, like, that was a big one too. Whenever I went to go see the Demon Slayer movie, I was like, yeah, I want them to come back with more. So, of course, sorry, my cat's really loud.
That was a cat?
That's my cat. Yeah, she's got a funky meow. Okay. When Demon Slayer came out, I wanted them to come back with more stuff into theaters like that. So I was like, yeah, I gotta, you know, buy my tickets. Of course, want to show them that, you know, right. Like, hey, sales over here, even though it's just, you know, two tickets, it's, you know, it's still in the long run adds up, because I think I mentioned it earlier that they did really well. So they'll consider doing it again in the future.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go back to your acting, because I want to hear a little bit more about when do you choose roles? Do you look for something specific that you want to do? Or do you pretty much just, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I want, you know, would you like to be in my movie? Or would you like to audition for my movie? You just pretty much say, okay. Or do you like actually like, you know, sought out things yourself?
So if I see auditions, then I will, you know, go out for the role if it's something that I feel that I could fit the part, or if it's something I'm interested in. And then other times I get recommended, like people will reach out to me. It's weird. I never thought that like word of mouth goes a really long way. And I'll get a lot of people who like inbox me. So if they inbox me about like a certain role, all I ask is, you know, I want to read the script first, because as an actor, you know, I don't want anything sketchy. I want to do a script that I enjoy. And I want to make sure there's nothing that crosses my boundaries as an actor, which is really important. So like, I like to know ahead of time, like, what it is. And if I have to sign an NDA, that's totally fine. I understand that, because that's their work. And I have no intention of like to giving it to somebody else, you know. I just want to do it for my, like, for my benefit, so I know what I'm getting into. It's like I get offered similar roles, but sometimes, like this last role that I was offered, it was like a mix. It was kind of similar, but there's like a twist to the character, so that was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Is your your part in Coven, is that out already, like, is one of your episodes at least out?
Yes, there is at least one episode out. It's great. I believe it's Graveyard Productions. Look up Nicholas Grant on YouTube. He's got a few. I couldn't tell you what episode it is exactly because he's got a couple out and I don't remember it off the top of my head. But I know there's one. I'm sure if you like look at the list, there's like a screenshot. You'll see me. My hair's curled and I got a white bloody t-shirt on.
Nice.
You're like, oh yeah, that's her. So there's definitely one out. We're working on another one, but he pumps them out pretty fast. And I think we started last year in October, like at least I did. So I know he's worked on other ones since then. So I think he tends to release them around that time because, you know, it does well because of the horror theme type of stuff. So there is one out there.
There is one. And then you'll hopefully shoot another one. And, you know, you said fall or winter time, right?
Yeah, hopefully soon. Right before we got a bunch of bad weather out here. We were supposed to film. So we didn't. And then I told, you know, obviously we had to film outside. So there was no, it was just raining like crazy. Rain for like, I don't know, a week or two, which we don't normally ever get that much rain. So, you know, we postponed that. And then
bad timing. You know,
it was really bad timing. And then I started the macabre. And then that was like a week process. And then I was like, okay, my little time to recuperate. Because, you know, 11-hour days. It was long set days. And then, you know, several in a row. I'm used to them being like broken up. So when it's like several in a row, I get like, I'm exhausted when I get back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I get it's like, oh, I got some chores I have to do now that I'm home. So I believe we'll start it up again soon. Hopefully, yeah, more towards the winter because my character wears a leather jacket. So just going to be a little hot for a leather jacket.
Yeah, which is funny. I mean, I've shot in the springtime with the leather jackets and everything and in Virginia. And Virginia is cold, you know, like colder, okay. I think, than like Las Vegas would be. So, I mean, I think even in the summer, well, no, summer gets really hot. But I think you guys had it probably pretty bad this year, you know, in the summer, you know, I mean.
Yeah, honestly, maybe I'm just used to it. I feel like it hasn't been as bad this year. Maybe it's just been a little bit later because usually we kind of like our really hot time is in July and August and we have like a 115, 116 degree weather and that's really rough.
Right.
But I feel like this year the rain kind of cooled it off a little bit. So I don't know if it's just being prolonged. I feel like we haven't had it as often this summer. It's still hot. Don't get me wrong. It's still really hot.
Yeah. We had, 96 degrees here but it felt like 105 or something, you know? So, right. I mean, I was living in California last year in LA and it was pretty brutal at times, but then like, you know, people don't ever really warn you, like, cause you kind of think, oh, LA is hot all the time. At mm-hmm. night, it is cold, you know, like.
Yeah. I had a bunch of friends that I game with and a couple of years ago, cause they lived near LA. I had that problem because I was so used to being so hot here that I wore shorts all the time. And so then I go to LA and then, you know, it was fine during the day. It was perfect. Then at night I was freezing and I didn't bring any other like things of clothes. I'm thinking it's going to be hot all the time. And everyone's laughing at me. And I'm like, I don't live here. I didn't know.
So where are you originally always from Las Vegas or did you move to Las Vegas?
I moved to Las Vegas. I'm originally from Texas.
Oh, wow. You're a Texas girl. Okay.
That's like, surprising.
I know. It is a little surprising. I don't know. I guess you kind of got that Las Vegas vibe now. I mean, you've probably been living there for a while now. So you're kind of, you know, like feeling that.
Yeah. I've moved. I used to have a little bit of an accent, but it wasn't very just it only comes out when I'm drunk every once in a while. I think I've been here since I graduated in 2012 and I came back because I lived here my junior year of high school and I loved it. And then I moved my senior year back to Texas. And then when I graduated, I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to Vegas. I really liked it. So that's what I did. And I've been here ever since.
Oh, well, it seems like you're getting along and you're finding a lot of work and you're continuing to do what you love. And that's amazing, because some people, it's just, it's hard to find work, you know, period, you know, in the film industry.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's everybody's had their fair share out here. Like, it's a small community, but there's also like been a lot of like not the best people, you know, a bunch of people who claim to be filmmakers and they're not, or they have these connections that they don't, type of thing. You know, everybody runs into it, I think, eventually. I just, but there's also a really good handful of people out here also. And we're weeding out all those bad people. You know, the longer you work here, you're like, oh yeah, I know this person, you know, and you get referrals. You're like, how is it working with this person? And, you know, you get several people who say the same thing and you're like, okay, yeah, I don't want to work with that person.
Well, that's good. I mean, because like, you know, it lets you know, you know, cause me and my friends were talking about it, my friends that aren't in the film industry at all, but like, you know, the idea of, you know, like word of mouth, yeah, like letting people know how you actually feel about somebody isn't a negative thing, you know, that actually helps out other people, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, but a lot of times people view that as a negative thing. Did you ever think about that? Like, some people always kind of like, oh, you're just being negative about that person or whatever, but like, you have to be, you know, if you're, especially if you're gonna work, you know, with certain people or whatever, you know.
I think it's important, just because there's a lot of just, you know, there's not a lot of not so great people out there. And if it's someone that I've worked with, like, you know, for example, Corey Taylor, I've worked with her a lot, you know, and if she told me like, hey, this person is a no-go, you know, like, hey, I worked with them and it was really bad, just giving you a heads up, I would believe her, because I've been with her on set on so many of Joe's films, and as well as like Lindsay Cruz also, like, you know, she's given me a lot of advice through the years, and she's also been like a really good, like acting, like someone I look up to acting wise. So it's like, if she told me that, like, hey, I'm just giving you a heads up, or if I had asked about a particular experience about someone I hadn't worked with, but they had, then I would definitely trust her judgment.
Definitely. Or either. Well, yeah, that's great. I love that. So yeah, I'm really glad that we were able to chat and do this and talk about your film career. Is there anything that you'd like to mention that you haven't gotten a chance to talk about yet?
No, I think we covered a lot of like the stuff that I'm in. So that was awesome. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. It was been a lot of fun, and I love talking about the process.
Yeah, I love talking about the process too, whether it be filmmaking or acting or anything like that, because I love to learn more about, you know, like learn from you, learn from anybody, like what to do, what not to do, how to handle certain situations and stuff like that, because some people, you know, it's different for everybody, you know, everybody's process is different. Like, when you get up in the morning and get ready for, you know, get ready to go to a set or something, do you have like a routine or anything, like habits that you do?
I just try to get up kind of early just to mentally prepare myself, depending on what time it is. If it's really early, like sometimes, you know, you get those 4 o'clock call times, I can't do it then. But if I can get up early and just go over my lines one more time, just to give myself that peace of mind that I, like, you know, the lines sometimes aren't that important. It's as long as you're conveying the same thing, or you're still getting the story across, like you don't have to typically get it word for word. But I would just say getting up early, just running it one more time, because sometimes even the morning of, I'll be like, oh, I like doing this way better. I'm like, oh, I did my performance better when I did this. So sometimes it's that night of sleep helps me like filter through some of the process of making it. So yeah, I definitely get a good night's sleep, have all my stuff prepped for the morning of, that way I'm not rushing out the door also.
And do you do a lot of research on your characters, like if you're going to play something specific?
Yeah, as much as that I can, if there's something specific, like I'm not a drug addict. So it was funny whenever he said I had to do like, he said I did heroin. So I was like really looking into heroin. And I was like, I hope nobody looks at my search history.
Thinking about that.
That's gonna look really bad. But I was like, I didn't have any like personal experiences with anybody in my life that did heroin that I could talk to. So, you know, I was like, all right, well, I'll just try to look it up. And so, you know, I'm trying to look up videos on YouTube and like, what is heroin like? Like very, very basic stuff, just so I can get an idea on how to react and how people feel when they're on it. So the few times that I was like, you know, shooting up, I put in quotations, I really wasn't acting
right.
So I knew you know, how they felt, so I could put myself in that type of mindset.
I forgot who it was. I remember watching this I think it was Inside the Actor's Studio or something, and the guy talked about an actor. I forgot who it was. I wanted to say it was John Travolta, but it was somebody like that, you know, who had to pretend to do heroin and everything, and they like learned that there was a technique that you use. And I'm trying to remember like who said it and where I can get that like information from again, because it was very valuable information. It was like, there's certain things that like, cause he went to an actual heroin addict and talked about with, you know, with the people, and kind of, instead of doing it, you know, right, and becoming a drug addict himself, he asked them like kind of how it felt. And the person kind of gave him, you know, a way to do it without, you know, actually doing it. That way they could know how it feels, so that when they get there, they can kind of already have that feeling when they start acting in it. And I was like, that's freaking amazing. Like, that's some deep research right there, you know, going to paying a drug addict to basically give you information on how to do it without doing it. You know, that's,
that is like, that's pretty beneficial too. And pretty like eye-opening to be able to talk to people who've done that sort of thing. So I'll definitely have to use that in the future. I think I've like mildly done it, but on smaller scales for like, you know, I think I've been an extra as like a doctor before. And I was like, hey, like, how do you do this? Or like, how do you do, cause my mom's a nurse. So I'm like, how do you do the stethoscope or whatever? I'm like, what looks a little more like, I don't want to look like it. Cause you know, some people watch the background and then we're like, that person's not doing that right. Like, that's not how the medical professionals do it. So I tried to yeah, or like, especially I noticed they do that a lot with anytime someone's shooting a gun, because it's happened to me the first few times I had to do like a fake gun on set. My posture was terrible. And then they were like, oh, and then I learned like, you know, how to hold it accurately. And I was like, okay, I have to do that from now on, because everyone's going to point it out every time. You're like, that's not how you hold that.
I got in trouble. I still get in trouble for this picture I have of holding. It was a paintball gun. And I had my hand on the trigger. Apparently you are not allowed to keep your hand on the trigger, you know, or whatever. You have to, you know, let it, you know, not have that. And I'm like, it's a paintball gun. It's not even like a regular gun, you know, like I don't.
The rules are different. It's not that type of gun.
Right. But it's, you know, they still view it as that, like, you know, get your hand off the trigger. And I'm like, all right. From now on, I know not to, you know, when I take pictures to keep my hand off the trigger, I guess. I don't know. It's weird. But it was wonderful chatting with you today. I'm very glad I got to. I'm like really looking forward to, you know, part three and everything you guys been doing. I think a bunch of your films, like Joe's films that you've done with them, there some are on YouTube under his production company and everything, and then some of it's Carcass Studios, and then some of it is actually, I believe, on Tubi, so in Amazon maybe. So
I want to say some on Amazon. I don't think I've used Tubi myself, so I can't speak on that one. I did actually. I also saw Mortal Wars at Redbox one time. I was so stoked. I was in Boulder City and I was just browsing, you know, and then I saw it and I was like, what the, like, I wasn't expecting it to see it there, but that was really cool.
Did you rent it?
I didn't rent it because I have two copies.
I know, but you know, hey, that's giving money to your film, you know, or whatever, you know, that's going, yeah. That's how I view it. But I'm always like, I don't want to rent it, because like, what if it's like the last copy and somebody actually wants to rent it and wants to, you know, watch it, you know.
That is true.
But yeah, I support all indie film because I absolutely do love indie filmmaking. It's definitely a different beast than, you know, Hollywood or whatever. So, but I still want Joe to get one of those wires so that you guys can fly around.
That would be so much fun. Even if it's not for Immortal Wars, even if it was for a horror film, like, you know, I think they did it a lot in The Conjuring. And I was like, that would be so much fun. Just, you know, like, you know, a ghost attacks me or get dragged down the stairs by something. I would love that.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely have wire stuff with when the people are just getting dragged on the floor and everything. And those are always so fun to watch, but it's sort of like a thing now, you know, like almost every ghost movie has to have a scene where the person just gets flown in, you know, like taken under the bed or whatever in the closet, like something, you know. But anyway, yeah, I would love to see that. So if Joe, you know, does something on his next movie, you gotta get him to put some extra money and get some wires.
Yeah. Definitely give that a shot. I know he had ideas for it, but sometimes budget wise, you know, working on indie, you don't always get like the funds that you want. Like you get a lot of support, but you know, that's kind of stuff I'm assuming is probably really expensive.
Probably, but you know what? Well worth it at the end.
Yeah. Definitely puts up the quality of the film too. So
Which I'm, you know, I love Immortal Wars because of the quality of the film. You know, I think of all the stuff, I know Joe's supposed to send me at some point, just haven't worked it out, but he's supposed to send me the Blu-rays so that I can take a look at it on high definition, because I know it looks like a million times better than like DVD or streaming, you know, on Blu-ray.
100%. Like every time, yeah, when we saw it in theaters too, it's hard because it doesn't have that same quality, and you're like, I'm like, you know that quality is there, just sometimes it doesn't get transferred over in the process.
Yeah, because well, especially in the theater, you know, I get that. So it's one of those things where I love it. Like I love what I've seen so far of all the Mortal Wars and everything, and I think you guys all have great careers ahead of you, you know? So the more that you guys keep working and doing everything that you're doing, I'm seeing big things in the future from all of you guys. You know, I think he has a great crew out there in Las Vegas, you know, and I'm excited to see more stuff coming from you guys. So looking forward to part 3 and everyone, all the other ones, you know, cause I know he said, what, 3 and 4. And then I think he said to me he was done. And he said that on the radio show that he was thinking he was done, but if there's like something more he might do, you know, and everything. Are you going to be a part of any of like the TV series or anything that they're doing?
To be honest, I'm not sure. We haven't really spoken about that yet. I know we still have to work on 4 because, you know, 3 was just released, so it really depends on how 4 goes and what his plans are for that. I just haven't spoken to him about that because he's got a lot on his plate.
Nice. Well, I'm really looking forward to it because this is going to be fun. So thank you once again. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come out and chat with me and everything, and I look forward to everything that else that you're up to. So thank you.
And thank you so much for having me and supporting the indie film, and, you know, and for everybody and all our projects. We really appreciate it. So, and thank you again for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Definitely. All right. Well, you have a nice night.
You too. Okay.